Unity is strength and assured success. All for one and one for all. Unity means solidarity. Yeah. United we stand. Divided we fall.
Hello!
Please don't desert me.
Is there anybody out there? Can you hear me? You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulous South Pacific Island nation of slavery and such. But it's just so disgusting that nobody could ever conceive of the 100% pure image logo that we have to attract tourists around the world is based, just like every other form of government, on complete BS. I'm, of course, talking about New Zealand. For those of you who have never heard this show before, well, you may never listen to it again. It's kind of polarizing. I sort of make fun of everything. But I allow everybody to have their say. And today, I kind of wanted to have a bit of a mishmash, a hodgepodge of random people just coming on air or something. So I'm going to throw the lines open here. And if you're in the US, the number is 402-237-2525. That's 402-237-2525. Now, there's a lot of discussion topics that we have for you today. There's the Osama bin Laden murder, or killing, or slaying, or fishing. In the case of the aftermath of the body, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they put like a whole bunch of fish hooks there and, you know, caught some sharks or something off the side of the fishing trawler. Wouldn't that be funny? Now, there's that. There's the 2012, or as I like to call them, the doomsday elections in the United States next year. And candidates running for president. There's actually a couple of them. There's the Constitution Party and the Green Party, and then of course there's Ron Paul for the Republicans. And of course, when you think about any election, you're going to wonder about what it means for your future. And in general, whatever you think the election means, your future's not going to be good because of it. Because the same puppets just keep changing their hands and just keep on destroying your country. It's pretty much how it is. World is pretty simple. World is very simple. Another topic that we have here is the Japanese tsunami and ensuing nuclear crisis. Now, there's been an awful lot of fear about this particular thing, but don't worry. They're going to put a polystyrene dome over the top of it to keep us all safe from the thousands of years of radiation. it's just so hilarious, don't you think? I mean, come on. Where do they get these guys? how are they that I mean, the person reporting this, How do they not just, you know, burst into laughter? Come on. How can these people do that? The brazen stupidity. Shameless. Absolutely shameless. Something I have got in common. Another topic that's been getting people off in New Zealand with their panties in a bunch has been this Christchurch earthquake. Whether or not, you know, it's been caused by HAARP or scalar weaponry, as AC Griffith seems to think, there is a lot of red flags, almost as many as China, about the Christchurch quake. And a lot of people have many opinions. Some people have got photographs of certain lights in the skies and strange stuff floating around, man. Seriously. Don't think it was photoshopped. Incredibly strange things happened off the coast of Japan, incidentally, around the earthquake zone. Strange lights and displays and things of that nature in the sky. Everybody was like, oh, what the heck is that? Something is going on very, very, very wrong. Because all of these points of discussion that I've brought up thus far involve either disaster or government lies. The new budget, for example, that New Zealand has just released, it's exactly the same as the Greek budget, the Irish budget, the American budget. It's all just wiffle-waffle crapola that doesn't expose the central point about why we're getting into debt, okay? I watched Martin Bomber Bradbury's television show last night, a few minutes of it, and I thought to myself, hold on a second, what is the difference here? Mainstream media talks about these shoestring issues and they argue about the part philosophically rather than laying out facts in some description of way that produces a convincing argument for the general populace to make up their own mind. And otherwise, if that's not the modus operandi, then it's just a couple of people arguing points of opinion. What does the audience have to gain from the argument of points of opinion? If anything, they would only stand to gain by the accumulation of consecutive facts, documentation, and evidence. Otherwise, it's all just a waste of frickin' time, and even a fool can see that. One thing that you have as a responsibility, I believe, and I don't want to say that I'm the beacon of hope or anything. If anything, if I'm New Zealand's only hope, then we're screwed. Seriously. Seriously. And what was I going to say? Oh, yes. If there isn't any way of talking about the real facts and real issues, then, hey, you're not real alternative media, man. Okay? You've actually got to really condemn. Maybe that's my opinion, come to think of it. I believe that you really do have to condemn the New World Order and the fake climate change arguments. I think that you do have to completely reject hostile takeover by international banks. I think that you do have to reject, but not only reject, but also bring up the history behind things so that people understand who their frickin' enemy is. Okay? It's all very well getting effed off at one single corporation that is, drilling for oil off your backyard that's responsible for bad drilling in other places, but who owns them? Oh, they're owned by an international bank, which also owns contracting companies in your country. Oh, and they also have shares in the bank that controls your country's interest. Oh, and members of their board are also key cabinet ministers. Oh, how interesting. It all ties together. There are dirty little fingerprints on every single major corporation and government in this entire world. There are a group of ruthless people right at the top who are just using everybody down beneath them to enslave you, and they'll later on kill them because they'll know all their secrets and they'll be too much of a threat to them. All right? This is the game that's played. And it's being played at a huge, huge... This is the Earth of the Cosmic Universe chess game. Right? There's so many pawns. There's only one king on either side. And supposedly people think of it as some kind of a spiritual war that, you know, we're fighting against God and demons. And, you know, I think there's probably an element of truth to that. I mean, some people would insist that it is the truth, the one truth and the only truth. I think there is really only one truth, but It's very, very complicated. It's not a simple equation. It's not something that somebody could back up with the reference of only one book, for example. There is a whole lot of people out there who've read one book and think that they know everything. It's absolutely foolish. Because the sources of your information have to vary as complexly as the sources of your propaganda. You know, you can't walk out your door without being propagandized. There's advertising everywhere. There's all these official stickers on everyone's cars to say that they're legal to drive and whatnot. You know, every single thing that you're exposed to that has a meaning or a symbol or a message is part of the grand propaganda scheme that's being played against you by the groups that own all the massive corporations and own all the governments that that print and advertise all that stuff. Okay, they got you by the balls. It's pretty straightforward. If you have to be, if you want to be cynical about it, you can basically say, yeah, pretty much everything that we're told is a lie. And you'd be much closer to the truth than saying everything we're told is the truth. You know? Everything's more of a lie than it is of the truth these days, and I see it quite simply and plainly now that I'm looking for it. It becomes a measure of, I don't know, maybe it's dignity that a human being has the right to determine whatever they want to do in their life. So long as they don't hurt nobody, you know, so long as they don't damage somebody else's stuff, and if they do, they have to pay royally for it, you know, just do whatever you want, mate. Oh, what's that person down the end of the street doing? Bro, he's not harming anybody. You know, what's the problem? You know, why do you want to invade his privacy? You know, he may be strange to you, but, you know, last year he invented a he invented a car that ran on water. So just leave him alone, bro. You know, he's up to his own thing. And so it's just like that. The reason why we have privacy, the reason why we have to stand up for our rights is because basically the rights that we have are incredibly powerful, okay? But only if you back them up. That's where the responsibility comes in. Your rights don't matter for crap unless you take responsibility for them. Now, would I be abashed and say that, oh, well, you know, everybody's strong enough to make the right decision? I'll say, well, yeah, maybe. Well, I think what the reality is, and I hate that phrase anyway, well, the reality is, whenever somebody's about to tell you a big whopping lie based upon their confused understanding, they start the sentence with, the reality is. Watch the television. You watch how many politicians use it before they tell you something that's total BS. It's pure and admitted fact. So the reality is, when you vote, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. They own the voting machines. Again, time and time again, people will stand up for politics, and the thing that they're trying to get out of it is get elected. And they try to stay positive about getting elected. They're not going to get elected. I mean, if you think for 1 second that people who are the most brilliant candidates who will really stand up for any kind of national sovereignty or try and kick the bankers out or try and kick the megacorps out that are raping this country and lobbying everybody, trying to get all the corrupt pieces of crap out of this country, okay, that candidate will not be elected. I can guarantee you, with a capital G, that stands for gangster, because that's precisely what we got, is a gangster government. If they don't like you, and if you cause a hell of a lot of problems for them, if let's say you're well-financed, for example, oh, you might have quite a few attempts on your life. It happens more often than you think. I know several people who've had attempts on their life. And, yeah, they're pretty wiry. Because that's part of the resistance monologue, basically, is that if your enemy feels constantly under threat, if they're constantly on edge, then they eventually wear themselves down. And you don't have to work on them that much. All you got to do is get them to fear you, and then you destroy yourself. You know, it's classic. Some people it doesn't work on, though. You know, some people are trained in the deadly arts, which is, you know, so they don't... take any kind of threat lying down because they can do something about it. Other people, on the other hand, they have a tremendous amount of strength and vigor and just make a real noise about it. Kind of like if you're mugged in the street, you can do one or two things. You can fight back or you can yell for help. Person who yells the loudest will get the most people to come to save him. Or draw most amount of attention to the attacker so that he'll run away to avoid being identified. And that's entirely true of what the government does to activists. It's the equivalent of a political mugging.
Oh, you've been very naughty. Well, we're going to diagnose you with some description of mental disorder that we made up out of a panel that was funded by pharmaceutical company reps. And then we're going to throw you into a jail cell, wrap you in a straitjacket, force you with copious quantities of drugs, and then we'll say that you're out of your mind.
You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. We'll be right back. 402-237-2525. 402-237-2525.
Yeah. Yeah. And no one like me. Yeah. 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 Congratulations. You made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo.
Yeah.
But I'm here now. So what you wanna do?
Huh?
How many dudes you really know can flow like this?
Like this?
Like this? Let's do it.
How many dudes you know vote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this?
Not many, if any. Not many, if any.
How many dudes you know got skills to go and rock a show like this?
I don't know anybody.
Check, check to the mic, check. A 1, 2 from a crew coming through. Where you hype yet? Nowadays everybody wanna talk, but we got someone to scribe.
Welcome
back. Ain't got
back.
Nothing, I'm up in the live. It came from when you feeling the vibe. You know, scribe is taking me high.
Oh, yeah. Kicking it down in the South Pacific. Taking it downtown, gangster, like John Key. I mean, keeping it bangster since 1913 with the Federal Reserve Act. I really, really just love being raped by bankers. As incidentally, a recent IMF chief has been accused of, and again... Looking on the lighter side of genocide, who would have thought that one of the worst country raping organizations would have a rapist of some description working for them? Oh, not let alone at the head of the organization. Now, and there's basically, my assumption is, it's based on a few things, but, you know, mostly it's just my summing up of what I reckon, is that all the head organizations that are like big as chips, man, are sick individuals. Really, really sick. And get engaged in a whole lot of nastiness in the wee small hours of the night. And that was the first thing that occurred to me. That, hey, it's not just this guy. It's also like a whole bunch of other ones. And then I was told... Well, what did he do then? And I was like, well, hold on a second. What did he do? Because they all do this kind of stuff all the time, but they don't. Nobody else has been thrown under a bus. What did he do? You know, I don't know. It's just the suspicious mind working here. They don't actually crucify anybody in the media unless they're a threat to the establishment or they're offering them up as some kind of piece of meat so that they can pass legislation as a result of the spectacle. So, which is it? Did he do something, or are they just going to pass legislation after it, you know, that makes it even easier for the bankers and even harder for everybody else? Who knows? I don't really understand the grandeur of all of this. Now, here's an interesting story here from gorillamedia.co.nz. Kai Korda chemtrails feature on TVNZ's Fair Go on May the 18th. Now, does that not sound fabulous? Mainstream media coverage of chemtrails. Grand. Another big thanks to regular contributor Fiona M. of Auckland for drawing our attention to this matter via email on May the 18th. Good find. At 2:56 and 3:43 minutes into the Fair Go clip at the link below, there are a number of blatantly obvious chemtrails. Now, it seems, of course, that it's quite amusing that it's everywhere now. It really is. I mean, I've been getting chemtrails sent in from one of my listeners up on Vancouver Island, clear as day. And had one off my balcony the other day. Massive, stretched across the entire sky. It was starting to spread out, you know, that white kind of milky, incredibly shiny sort of chemicalized particles of aluminum and barium kind of sparkling in the sky like jagged diamonds. Isn't it fabulous, you know? Geoengineering. I just love getting everybody sick, man. It's fabulous. Just so freaking fabulous. And, of course, it's everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere. That's the thing why you should watch that documentary, What in the World Are They Spraying?, with Michael Murphy and G. Edward Griffin, because it is a real eye-opener. All right, massively. And particularly the New Zealand audience needs to wake up to this as well because, not only have we had chemtrails and everything talked about in Parliament, so have the Americans. In fact, I'm led to believe that there was an immense amount of detail that went into the chemtrails mention of the Space, Air and Preservation Act that Dennis Kucinich put in. But, of course, it was rejected, and then later on the chemtrails entry was removed for some reason. And this, of course, gets the conspiracy deniers all like, oh, well, you know, he removed it, therefore it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist, it doesn't exist, it doesn't exist. But look behind you, right there in the sky. Look at that. And he says, it doesn't exist. Which brings me to another important point. Today, true Kiwi Joker, one word, is the name of a YouTube account of an absolute knob. Abusive, psychotic, climate cultist type, personally insulting, etc., etc., etc. Not the first, and surely not the last, of these monsters that I'll have to encounter on YouTube commenting on my videos. Now, the video in question, of course, is a thing between these two dudes, Ian Wishart, who's a very, I'd consider him to be a fairly awesome dude in terms of the conspiracy field, denying that global warming is man-made, coming out with huge amounts of facts and evidence, and another guy, forget his name, who was on the part of course, the climate cultists, saying, well, the evidence shows this and the evidence shows that, blah, 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 blah. And not actually saying any evidence at all. Isn't that funny? If you repeat the word evidence and if you repeat the word fact, And if you repeat the word scientist, people believe that scientists came up with facts and evidence to support your case, when the reality isn't the case at all. You just repeated the word scientist, facts and evidence. And that's when you know that you're dealing with somebody who's completely brainwashed and doesn't know what they're talking about. Right? Brainwashing exists. Oh, yes, it does. It is an active part of our life because everybody's got a family member or an extended family member or a friend. Everybody knows somebody who's just absolutely blind to what's going on. And you'll notice that they're probably a lot angrier than everybody else. And they may be, and they're just a lot more cynical and a lot, in my opinion, a lot more closed off and a lot worse off. It's just a problem. One couldn't conceive of the ridiculous nature of denying reality so that you can be happy only to later find out that only by accepting reality can you be happy. It's pretty sad, man. But, you know, people live like that. They do. Why? I can't tell you. Okay. I can tell you, actually, because it's pretty straightforward. This is the same thing that's happened to everybody else before they woke up. Brainwashed. Getting totally dependent. Getting totally disillusioned. And getting totally miserable with the sorry and sad state of affairs that we have to put up with in this country. Progressive taxation and a whole boatload more of crap that is just not, I repeat, not in any way, shape or form very good for you. One consideration is that we need to, I don't know, become one with the enemy. You know, infiltrate their ranks and pull the rabbit out of the hat when they're at their weakest. The other is we form grassroots movements and oppose them from every angle. And another is the Bernaysian technique of propaganda, where you simply convince the experts of your cause, and they'll convince all the people that follow them. You know, if you recruit church leaders, things of that nature, people who have flocks who follow them blindly, and you tell them about chemtrails, you tell them about fluoride in the water, you tell them about everything, hey, that might actually really help to wake people up. And that's using the weapon that the New World Order uses against us, back against them. Now, I've always been a fan of doing that because there's nothing sweeter than taking your enemy's weapon off them and just cracking him on the head and then just saying, get out of here, boy. You know, you don't know who you're dealing with. And I think that's probably the New World Order's problem. Just like the conspiracy deniers' problem is that they don't see human potential for what it is. Infinite. Totally infinite. All right? Not only can you not look at human beings like they're cockroaches or something, because they're cockroaches with guns, cockroaches with minds to think, you know? Cockroaches that can plan and plot against you and trap you. You can't think of us like that. And I would never think, of that of any human being, you know. No matter how slovenly, no matter how abusive or insulting, or how mentally ill they are, I would never wish death upon them or harm upon them at all. I would wish that they would simply grow up, okay, and find a sense of humor, you know, find some love in this world, man. There's a reason why people have to reach out a lot of the time for support. Because, hey, this world's pretty rough, man, and most people can't face it alone. You know, that's why people pair up and get partners, because they want to do something without the extra added stress of having to do it by themselves. Everybody needs somebody else. And what's really happening in this day and age with divorce rates going through the roof, something like over 50% now, and more than 60% of families report being dysfunctional or something like that. You know, the people who are well-adjusted, who are happy, who have self-confidence, self-esteem, have respect, have honor, are now the minority. Because it's only those people who are aware of all those other influences that get put down on people. They're aware of what happens to their child's mind when they swear at them, when they hit them, when they do nasty things. People who understand what consequences are. And in fact, now it's kind of illegal to discipline your children. Now, no kidding. In New Zealand, we passed an anti-smacking law. Smack your child, that's child abuse. You know, we're gonna take it away out of that dangerous family situation and put it into child protective services custody, where they don't change the child more than once or twice a day, and hire them out to local pedophiles that are really high up in the in the council and police and doctors and nurses and all of that kind of stuff, man. Same kind of stuff happens overseas, like in the UK, is the Holly Greig case. I mean, yeah, this is what it's all about, man. They progressively pass legislation to not only make it illegal, and this is the cool thing about it, whenever they do something, there's usually more than one purpose, okay? It'll do what its stated aim is, but it'll also do other things that they don't disclose, okay? So when you pass an anti-smacking bill, not only do you wind up conveniently being able to getting your hands on some supple children for your thirsty pedophiles, but also you get to destroy the family unit, which fortunately breaks down society. And those children will grow up abused, and they'll become the next generation of criminals, which you can conveniently put in jail for the rest of their lives if they turn violent, and then siphon profits off through the private prison system. Isn't that beautiful? And there's many, many more tangents of where this could go as well. Come to think of it, that's the same thing with virtually everything. You know, the sugar in the food, the artificial sweeteners and things of that nature. We're putting fat, salt, and sugar in the main, getting put into our diet. And those are very, very addictive substances. And what's worse is that children are being given this stuff now, you know, like the McDonald's have got all their Happy Meals and stuff like that. You know, you can get the kids in, you know, get them while they're young, get them to eat all that really, really incredibly addictive, tasty stuff that's way too powerful for their little brains to compete with. Get them hyped up on sugar and caffeine and get them running around. You know, it's like drugging children to get them addicted to stuff that's going to wind up making them really miserable, really huge, and ultimately die of some description of coronary heart attack without living a day in their life. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com, and we'll be right back. One thing I need to know, who's that? Are you?
What is about? There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Judgment Day. May 21, Doomsday Predictor, to watch it on TV. Oh, The U.S. evangelical broadcaster predicting that Judgment Day will come tomorrow says he expects to stay close to a TV or radio to monitor the unfolding apocalypse. And bear in mind, we're broadcasting live from the future here on New Zealand, so tomorrow I'll be going on James Burns' show 5 minutes early to tell you whether or not the apocalypse has hit us on the side of the dateline and whether it's coming to a town near you. Now, another news, a very special guest of mine is joining us live from the opposite side of the world, from New Zealand, the United Ku Klux Klan Kingdom, full of blue bloods, scum, and various other bankster-type filth, like the Rothschild family. His name is Patrick Lynch. From the Free Truth Show on These Changing Times Radio. Welcome to the show.
Benny! How you doing?
Freaking awesome, bro. I saw your video. You went up and...
Oh,
I think it was somewhat of a botched ambush, but, you know, you live and learn.
Oh, man, it's not every day you get to confront a dark lord of Satan, you know. And you kind of, I left my notebook at home with all my prepared questions, obviously. But it was nice to see him sort of scuttling it back into the bush. Mr. Rothschild, can you tell me why your family wants a new world order? No, I'm just going to do my gardening. Go away, go away.
You're one of those conspiracy theorist nutcases.
Now, what was the name of that chap? Said the most amazing nonsense about my family being from another planet.
They do really sound like those. Have you ever seen the cartoon version of Robin Hood and Prince John is the thumb-sucking little lion whose head's too small for his crown and it keeps, like, going over his ears and everything. He's like, oh, mommy! Oh, no. That's the Rothschild family to a T.
At the end, he said, I'm not your slave, Mr. Rothschild. You're not going to get your new world order. Okay, you're a complete nut. I'm not your slave. It's a jolly good thing, too. It's from Harrow, who was educator, Harrow. Jolly good thing, too. I couldn't think of anything worse with someone like you tagging along. It was classic. Oh, come, Mr. Rothschild. But in all seriousness, folks, you know, this is a guy, his family have been dominating humans for centuries and funding wars, starting wars, eugenics, you know, don't have any sympathy for him. He's not a dear old fella pottering around in his shrubbery. This is a serious New World Order gangster, you know what I mean? And I may well have sealed my fate. Screw it, there's no time to mess around anymore. They're killing us. From the sky and your foods and your water, you name it, they've thought of it. So you can either stand up and confront them in the shrubbery or you can lay down and die. There's no time to mess around anymore, Vinny. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, did he like get real ticked off for you, like bouncing around his garden and demand another shrubbery?
We're the Knights of Malta, Hussein Lee.
Well, it made it onto it's. I've never confronted anybody before. I live in England. We've got a stiff upper lip. I'm nervous of confronting my local shop if I think he's shortchanged me. Never mind confronting Lord Sauron, Lord of the Rings. You know.
Oh, well, this guy's obviously not one of the big head honchos. He's not exactly your David Rockefeller type Rothschild, you know. He's not one of the Lord Amshells. He's more like one of those scumbag Rothschilds that host benefit galas for these massive eugenics operation, non-governmental organization type crap, you know, and wheels and deals a little business here and there in his youth. And now he just kind of, you know, tuggles around his garden and in the evening, evenings I go out with my champagne and my Dom Perignon to another gala benefit, and then we kidnap some of the small choir boys that were singing there because they look so tender, and we take them back to our elaborate mansions and have our way with them.
Well, obviously I have no clear evidence of that. I must insist on the absolute clear evidence. This is the most outrageous thing. Go away, slave, go away.
I don't like this when these slaves come and bother me amidst the shrubbery. I must increase their fluoride. Oh, I'm going to need a brain.
The most scary thing was...
What did you say your name was?
And I love it how when you were, like, leaving, there was a car behind you and you thought he was following you. You're so paranoid.
No, I didn't think he was following me. I just said, there's a car behind us, but you never know. Let's just get out of here, you know what I mean? I had to dram it up a bit.
Oh, yeah. He seriously probably went straight home and picked up the phone to call intelligence services to come and get you.
Well, he was charging back to his house, there's no doubt about it. He was in the garden 1 minute, and as I was leaving, he wasn't. He was charging back to his house. And it reminded me of that Bigfoot footage. Do you know the Bigfoot footage? Glancing. It was a bit like that, but more scary. And... I thought it's probably a good idea if we go now. So I was with someone. I said, "Have we seen the rest of the gardens yet?" And she was like, "No." I'm like, "I think we better go anyway." Yeah,
yeah, might be an idea worthy of merit because, after all, I mean, even if he just owned that house that he had, the guy's still ridiculously wealthy. And you can't be that wealthy without being very well connected with the local authorities, because otherwise you wouldn't be able to steal enough money to look that wealthy.
Well, he is the son of Edmund de Rothschild, who was a big banker. You only have to look back. His brother is Leopold. His uncle was Leopold. And... he's the son of Edmund de Rothschild, you know? So there's no doubt about it. He knows. And let's face it, if he doesn't have a major role in J.P. Morgan Chase, Manhattan, Eugenics, or whatever, Incorporated, he knows what his brothers and his family do, and that makes him more complicit, actually, by not... You know, if you don't want anything to do with your family because they're a bunch of eugenics murdering gangsters, and you don't say anything... What kind of a man are you? You're probably worse, you know? At least Rothschilds are like, yes, you're all cattle. Yes, absolutely. That's our divine right to bump you off. But, you know, if you know it's going on and you kind of don't agree with it, but just like, I'll just carry on with my garden, then nuts to that, you know? Screw it.
Well, you know, you got to say, there was an argument that I had that in critique of your ambush, and I don't want to like seem like some kind of old wizard or whatever, but anyway, I've ambushed plenty of people, and it reminds me of my very first ambushes where you're kind of nervous, your heart rate kind of pumps up, and you sort of lose the words, and it's kind of like a very distressing incident that you put yourself in, but it's really exciting too. And, you know, it's just like, good on you, son. You know, it's a first attempt, and keep doing it. Why not? You know, what do you got to lose?
Probably be my first and my last, eh?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, if you had your prepared questions, I mean, do a little bit more research and perhaps do a little bit more thought into it. But the other thing is, if you ask
totally
a question...
I had no time to think.
Exactly.
I was like, oh, my God, that's the guy, that's the dogs from the statues. It must be him. Hello. Start talking about rhododendrons, get the measure of the man, and then I do have one question for you, and the dogs start whimpering when I whip out the camera. This is not going out anywhere, is it? Oh, no. I do have one question for you, Mr. Rothschild. Why does your family think we need a one-world government under us? Oh, I had no idea we do. I don't think we do. Oh, come, Mr. Rothschild, and that, why do we need a one-world government, a scientific dictatorship? And you can see in his eyes, he knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, but the thing is, you've got to actually approach it from a different point of view, you know. You've got to approach it from somebody who actually, from the point of view of somebody who actually agrees with world government and isn't actually trying to confront him, so that he begins to trust you. That way, he'll say things that he wouldn't ordinarily say. All right, that's one pointer. More after the break with my very special guest, Patrick Lynch from the Free Truth Show on These Changing Times Radio. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. You can also call in 402-237-2525 is the number to call. Have you ambushed somebody before? What kind of scum did you have under the lens of your camera these days? You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back after the break. Back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the lighter side of genocide. And also, hey, Patrick, mate, you might want to jump into the Vinnie Eastwood Show chat room and put the link of your video in there as well, mate.
Sure, I can put it in the Skype, actually, because I'm not online at the moment. I'm just online with the Skype. So can you see it in the chat there?
Oh, yeah, I got it. All right, sweet as.
Hello to everybody in the chat, by the way. Hello there.
Oh, yeah. All right, she's all sus. It's in there, so everyone can watch it. The cool thing about the ambush I found was just the what are the chances, you know? Yeah. The opportunity. Yeah. You're there, you're with the camera, and there's a Rothschild right in front of you. You know,
well,
and
previously,
it's like, yes!
We previously just had a picnic on his lawn, actually. But, you know, if you notice in the video, you'll see two dogs, and I say, note the two dogs outside the door. And we went over to ring this bell that was hanging on the tree, and I was actually walking up near him with a big stick in my hand. And I thought, well, if that's him, I better drop the stick, you know. So... I thought, well, that's got to be the same dogs. It's got to be him, you know. And it was.
Well,
so I just started chatting about the garden, and he started rambling about his family and telling me about his brothers and his uncle and his sister and everything. He seems like a fairly normal, amiable, pleasant, genteel, well-mannered guy. But then again, you can afford to be if you've got trillionaires, if you've born into trillions of money, from a murderous family throughout the centuries. You can afford to be nice. Everyone's doing your dirty work for you.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to do anything. You know? You just get to live... You get to trip at the life fantastic and go to the best boarding school, sample the best wine and the best of everything. And you don't have to do jack in order to get it.
And he knows... I don't care if he's a writer, horticulturalist... and nothing to do with the banking family. I can't find anything of his role on the internet, and I've looked for 2 days solid. There's not even a picture of him. Try it. You won't find one. But he's listed in the peerage. Yeah? So...
Oh, yeah.
That makes him... if he knows what his family's doing and he's living off the name, if he knows what his family's done and he's living off the name, then he was fair game. I'm sorry, but that's the way I look at it.
Well, and the inspiration of other people to do the same thing, I think, is well worth it. I mean, it's like
if you've never done it.
This is the justification. I mean, had I been in your shoes, I would have done the exact same thing. Probably balls it up just as badly. but just gotten some shots in there, you know, some great sound bites. We're not your slaves, Mr. Rothschild.
Right.
It's just fun to mess with them, don't you think? Because you catch them off guard because they think that nobody knows who they are. They think that nothing's going to happen to them. I think it would be great if every time he goes out outside of his house to trim the verge, as it were, some other knob with a camera sticking it in his face, going, come now, Mr. Rothschild, we know about your new world order.
Exactly. It's an inspiration to others. You know, these people aren't untouchable. You know, I could have made a citizen's arrest and, you know, or something, you know, but, you know, I don't know what to say, really. I mean, I just looked into this man's eyes while I was chatting to him about being a rhododendron buff and the shrubbery. And as I looked into his eyes, I can tell you, people, you have nothing to fear. There is no dark, satanic energy emanating from these people. They have no personal charisma or power. We can beat these people. We can stop paying taxes. We can stop complying with the system. We can have a peaceful revolution tomorrow. We could deny them their power. They're nothing.
Pathetic scum in charge of the earth, ruling over a once free people. Doesn't it sound like a really ironic existence that's completely unbalanced and will one day quite likely just change completely? You know, it seems perfectly natural.
As Alan Watt says on CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, these people believe they have a divine right to rule. Their right of might throughout the centuries have held on to their power, and their sons haven't wasted it away, and they have a divine right to rule. And we're the herd, we're the cattle, we're the useless eaters. They don't need us anymore. Thanks for the Industrial Revolution. Bye, with your junk genes. You know, that's the mentality. They really do live in a different world.
Speaking of a different world, the Queen, being such a very lovely diplomat and only being responsible for copious amounts of genocide, wanted to visit Ireland. And give us a little bit of a background on that. I mean, you came from Ireland, didn't you?
I was born in England, but I consider myself an Irishman, and I'm the first generation, and my family suffered. And my generations of my family suffered under these tyrants, whether it be Cromwell, Masons, Rothschilds, and Osborne, who's in the cabinet now, actually, Anglo-Irish family, who's a Rothschild agent, sort of like Mandelson. The famine wasn't a famine so much. They took all the food out of Ireland and all the cattle. And they used Ireland as a breadbasket to feed the troops in the Commonwealth. And they'd shoot people at the ports when they were taking out the food on the boats, shoot people who were hungry trying to get the food on the boats. That's why the famine happened. That's the royal family. So when she stands there in a bejeweled tiara, laying a wreath at the spot where people were executed in the Garden of Remembrance, it was set up for the people that were executed by her forces, and who's still the head of Freemasonry today, ceremonial head of Freemasonry today. She still runs most of the world, owns Canada, shuts down the Parliament recently at her whim. And to stand there in what I consider to be my country is gross, off-the-scale audacity that I thought I'd never see in my lifetime.
Well, what did you think that you'd see in your lifetime with this scum? I mean, apparently she wore the Irish colours in her dress or something like that.
Well, she wore green one day, yellow the next, a horrible kind of limey yellow, and then white the next. That's green, white, and gold. That's the Irish flag. So whether that's significant or not, I don't know. She had a Freemasonic white gloves on, and she's the head of a secret society, Knights of the Order of the Garter and everything, and it's just every secret society scumbag was there. She even brought the Prime Minister with her. You know what I mean? It was sickening and the grossest insult to the Irish people who fought for their freedom and kicked them out as far as the north, at least, even though that may have been controlled, like India and Gandhi. And it's just besmirching the memory of real liberty, liberty-fighting people. And
now
we're going to need that fighting spirit again, to be honest, because they're forcing us against a wall. And I'm a peaceful man. I'm going to stay peaceful as long as I can. I'm organising a chemtrail rally. That's going to be a peaceful event, a chemtrail rally on the 9th of July, 2011, near Duxford in Cambridge. You can check out that on the Free Truth Show channel. So, but I can see a day when we'll be forced to be more than peaceful, and I don't want to go there, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I would think that because she was wearing the flag, and that's basically what she did, and that's a ceremonial procedure, obviously, you know.
Yeah, it was a Masonic ritual,
Was anybody else allowed to bring flags into where she was?
I didn't see any. And what they didn't show you was that all the streets were emptied. CIA were all over the place.
Whoa. Well, there was one thing. I was watching TV3 News, right, and they saw this wonderful ceremony of the Queen, you know, laying the wreath, and it's like, oh, we killed 189 of your people, but here's some plant matter that'll make it all better. And then what they don't show you, because then we flip the channel to Deutschwelle, DWTV, it's a German news channel, and they show you all these huge amounts of protesters in the street all over the place.
They were Irish Republicans. Not very happy. No, I don't blame them, to be honest, you know. But now, and apparently they found a bomb on a bus that was headed into central Dublin and defused just in time. And they do that sort of thing. They probably made that story up just to justify the millions spent on security, just so she could have a... She even turned down a pint of Guinness, for God's sake.
Are you kidding me?
She went to the Guinness Brewery and didn't drink it. I know why she didn't drink it, because 75% of Ireland is medicated with fluoride and there's probably loads in the Guinness.
Oh, that's a commoner's beverage.
Oh, no, I couldn't possibly reduce my IQ and give myself bone cancer. That's for the slaves.
I'm already incredibly old and haggard with fragile hips as it is. I've got to get, like, Botox injected 14 times a day, easy.
Don't offer me a Guinness again. I am the Queen, and it simply won't do.
Well, I mean, it just shows how into Irish culture she is. I mean, did she get drunk once while she was in Ireland? I mean, anybody who understands Irish culture has to get drunk while they're there, okay? Did she do that? I don't think so.
It gets worse. Obama's coming next week. I think it's next week, you know. So we've got from one tyrant to another, you know.
Goodness.
Tyrantsville.
They need to employ extra dustmen so that when they come across these kind of filth, like the royals or the Barack H.O. Barry regime, they can just sweep them up, crush them in the back of the truck, and then dump them in an undisclosed landfill to decompose with the rest of the trash of history.
But that would go no way in reducing their carbon footprint, you see. We can't allow that.
Well, you know, they should just make some carbon footprints into space where they could just F off and leave us to actually live in peace and freedom for once.
I noticed all the carbon tax demonstrations going on in Australia. What's happening in New Zealand with that?
Well, you remember last year or was it the year before the oil hit $140 a barrel?
Yep.
And gas per litre here in New Zealand was like It only just hit $2 a litre. Okay. Now it's trading at $100. That's NYMEX crude as of last night. And the petrol is $2.26 per litre. Okay. Did the math for me on that one, because I don't think that having a cheaper barrel per oil price and a more expensive per litre price stacks up. Here's one reason why. Carbon taxes. We're the first country in the world dumb enough to pass carbon tax laws into legislation.
we've just been dished out. They've estimated that the new green taxes in England is going to cost every household an extra £500 a year.
Are you kidding me?
Scam. Nope. In the Daily Mail online today, £500 a year for every household, green taxes.
Well, I guess that pastor must be right. The world is going to end sooner than we think.
I was going to say about that, actually. I've already packed my bag. What about you?
Oh, yeah. Well, this guy...
This Armageddon also, thing, is it? Is it this Armageddon thing? Is it global?
Yeah. And he predicted the Jesus' return to Earth in August as well, 1994. Oh. So I don't think he's got a lot of credibility. I mean, the guy stands in the street with a sandwich board sign saying the Bible guarantees that the world's going to end on May 21st, and of course doesn't have the passage where it guarantees that on the board at all.
They must have ripped that page out or something afterwards.
This is the thing. Any random crazy person who believes in God gets huge amounts of media attention so that they can demonize the rest of the good Christian sensible population, right, and fulfill the satanic agenda. That's my opinion anyway. And just like this other pastor who's you know, threatening to burn Qurans and whatever the heck, you know, the media is just hyping it up to incite racial and religious hatred.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, get us to hate each other.
The Bible itself has an ethical code, and the Freemasons have vowed to destroy organized religion. If people don't have that moral code anymore, no gauge to go by, whether you're religious or not, and I'm not overtly religious, people don't know what's good and what isn't anymore. The younger people today, they have no moral gauge. Anything goes, and that's the plan, you see. Have fun, anything goes, do this, do that. And eventually, I've read these elites' plan to introduce intergenerational sex into schools. They're going to be teaching in schools very soon, and teachers are already cavorting around and using sex toys in schools in Germany and masturbation classes. The idea is that your kids will be taught that it's okay to sleep with older people. Pedophilia in schools, that's what's coming next. It's a slow degradation, an incremental degradation of our morality, you see. That's why people are being indoctrinated with television. It's a massive plan to convert people, to undermine their morality and convert them to anything goes. And then you have them. That's how you undermine and take over a nation. You take over their minds. You corrupt them. That's what's happening, you know.
How long did it take in order to instill morals and ethics in people? It took generations, didn't it, of people reading the Bible to their kids? So
it takes one generation to destroy it.
For F's sake. I mean, seriously, they're so adept at destroying everything of value. And that's what's so dangerous. Yeah, well, they've been doing it for a long time. They've got a lot of practice.
They've got us down, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Down, but not out. And we'll be right back after this very short break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Join us in the chat room there. The number to call in is 402-237-2525. And check out the articles at guerrillamedia.co.nz. Back in a moment.
We can be more than ever before.
And incidentally, the EvenEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you by GorillaMedia.co.nz. My very special guest, Patrick Lynch from the Free Truth Show, also joins me. Now,
thank
we're
you
talking.
Very much.
Now, you told me over the break before that somebody said to you that they were getting their Irish flags taken off them when they were going in to see the Queen.
Yeah, there's a video on YouTube from Lady K on YouTube, and she was walking through this just thrown together checkpoint. A couple of cops, lady cops, stopped her and said, "Sorry, I'm going to have to take the flag off you." She said, "What?" "Yeah, under Section 21 of Security Act or whatever, we have to take the flag off of you." And she started shouting at all the crowd and saying, Look, everybody, she wants to take my flag off me. We're not allowed to use our flag in our own country. And then she kind of scuttled off and went, no, it's okay. All right, then off you go. It's on video.
Now, see, there's a brilliant idea. Incite an angry Irish crowd.
Right.
Oh, man. That's classic. I love that.
I mean, it already...
Real liberty. That's real patriotism right there. It's just like, you want to take my flag off me? Watch this.
Yeah, I want to take the flag off you because an ancient tyrannical family is coming over for a spot of tea and we can't have it upset and offended. And we're going to clear everybody out of the streets and the roads and the shops for about 2 miles around.
Shows how much the royals value their flags, eh? Because we've all got that. What is the Union Jack? I mean, what does that represent anyway?
It's on
everybody's bloody flag.
Yeah, it's red, white, and blue for a start. I mean, to be honest, I've actually forgotten. But it's Wales.
The Masons,
Wales
know,
and Northern Ireland and England and Scotland, and it's the merging of them, and that's why you have a supposedly united kingdom. It was never united. The Scots still don't get on with the British, and the British still don't get on with the Welsh, and they're proud countries within themselves, you see, and they don't want to be integrated. They never did. Somebody just decided one day that would happen, and being a rich family with a crown on the head, and... Alan Watt was saying the other night that the Highland clearances in Scotland, they just rounded up as many people as they could, put them on boats, and half the boats sunk, and relatives' accounts of the day, they put them on leaky boats, and thousands of people drowned. They cleared out the Highlands of Scotland. That's why they're barren of people, because they were such a fiercely independent country that were always causing trouble for the crown.
Hmm. And now we've got now we've got Scots and Irishmen everywhere, because this is the thing. What the royals have done is they've used the East India Trading Company to set up all these colonies everywhere and to push down any basic resistance. That's why they gave it a commission to have its own army and everything like that. It was basically just a global empire takeover. And that's basically what happened. You know, it's no different to what's happening today when the US people are being sent over to die in foreign battlefields. You've got no reason to be there in the first effing place or whatever, other than resource extraction and geopolitical control. It's no different. Every empire goes through this kind of phase of expansion and then subsequently collapse. And now what's happening is that the British and American empires have kind of banded together, and they're going for the one final push that will take over absolutely everything and control it forever.
They're destroying America by design. Their design has gone through the centuries. It's a very old plan, and they're really enjoying taking down America, because America has the Constitution. And it's a bastion of freedom and liberty, and they were very proud of that. So they're really enjoying the last little piece of the jigsaw, taking that down. They've deindustrialized England, they've deindustrialized America, and made the taxpayers actually pay for it too. If your factory gets paid by the taxpayer and the government to move to China or India, and if you fail in the first 10 years, you can have a top-up. So all our mines in England are closed down. same in Ireland. I think there's just one or two tin mines left. So it could be a service nation. So people would just consume and that's it. And everything's brought from the breadbasket, which will be South America this time. All the cattle will be there. All your burgers will come from South America. And America is designed to be the military. Australia, apparently, and New Zealand, the South Pacific Rim, is going to be administration. The finance is centred in London, in the city of London, which is its own state with its own flag. And so we've got the unions set up already. We've got the North American Union, the European Union, the Pan-Pacific Union, the Asian Union, the African Union. So all these little pieces of the big geopolitical global government are just ready to slot into place. We're already under it, actually. We're already under a new world order. So the IMF is now pushing to take over the books of each country. They've already gone in and raped, quite literally, in some cases, the country itself of with the bank loans and the bailouts, and that was the last nail in the coffin. Now they want control of your books, New Zealand books. They control what happens. And if you don't depopulate your nation within the quotas of the depopulation agenda, you don't get enough food to feed your people. So they'll starve you. So they've got all their own men in there at the top, and that's the way it works for each country.
Well, basically, it's just a perfectly rigged game, you know. Well, not perfectly rigged. You know, there's cracks and there's places in there. I mean, they can't have total control just yet because there's too many of us. But I think with the Fukushima incident, essentially, what it's done is it's triggered off that global kill off that they want.
Well, on tonight on the show, I had Dr. Rebecca Carley, MD. She's a world renowned expert on vaccines, on the dangers of vaccines, and she totally understands and put it very succinctly, very clearly, that it is part of the ongoing depopulation agenda. So you have your fluoride and you have your chemtrails, and if all else fails, they've got neutron bombs that they're ready to use on us that won't harm buildings but will wipe out whole continents of people. And in conjunction with HAARP, forget about it. So we have to stop them now. We're probably the last generation fit and healthy enough to do so.
Well, you know, you're probably right. I mean, have a look at how we grew up, and there was still kind of cheap, abundant energy. There was nutritious food that wasn't chemically laden or genetically modified at that point. And the confectionery wasn't quite as huge as the range is now. Advertising wasn't quite so in your face. Education wasn't quite so badly slumping. And it's like everything in every way conspires inexorably to make you dumb, fat, yeah, lazy, and easily conquerable, easily controlled.
That's it. That's it. You got it.
Okay.
That
now,
working very well at the moment, isn't it?
So I think that you're absolutely right, Patrick, that this is the last generation. You know, it's people in our age group in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. In fact, it's basically we're the last point in history where humanity will be either possibly free or definitely enslaved for the rest of its existence, you know?
Uh-huh.
And everybody in every generation has some kind of big bad guy that's trying to overthrow the world. But this is the first time where the big bad guys behind the big bad guys are being exposed.
Yeah.
So I think that this might be the last revolution that the Earth will have to go through.
It's working very well at the moment, isn't it? You only have to look around at the people sort of stomping out of McDonald's. You know, I mean, the TV has kind of substituted our yearning for a hero to deal with the bad guy. And we haven't even noticed that the real bad guys are really doing the stuff to us, and there are no heroes standing up to them. It's like we care about our sports, and shouting for our team, that's a substitution for controlling our own destiny and shouting for your team, you know, your tribe. Yeah. So I've had 40 years, 35 years of TV indoctrination, never suspecting that the James Bond media baron, bad guy, was actually very, very real and very organized.
Wow, man. It's just pretty ruthless out there. I'm looking at a picture right now, Gaza massacre on Palestine on Daily Motion. You can watch that on YouTube. And, yeah, it's a child decapitated. It's pretty horrific, man. Seriously. And I actually went to a meeting the other night where a guy was talking about welcoming the Chinese into New Zealand and supporting Israel. And I was just like, well, hold on a second. You want to support the number one and number two biggest human rights violators regimes in the world, where if you speak bad about the government, you can be thrown in jail and basically executed. Go around and murder people all the time. You know, it's just like what? How? In any way, shape, or form, can you justify that?
They have.
I don't understand it.
They have teenagers running around with Chairman Mao T-shirts. You know, Mao is this, Mao is that. He was a butcher. He killed millions of people. China is the model for the New World Order. This is how the Bushes and the Aryans and the Nazis never went away, folks. By the way, just in case you were wondering, they're stronger and bigger than ever. these are the guys that think of China as the model for the New World Order. That's how this scientific dictatorship globally is shaping up. That's the model for it. If you're erring on or sitting on the fence wondering whether you should do something about it, is it really going to get bad? Have a look at China and then get back to me, yeah?
Well, not to the point where you just have a look at China. I mean, have a look at where it is now. And then have a look at where your legislation and what your country used to be like 20 years ago, and you'll see a line of progressive movement towards the Chinese type of government.
Yeah.
All right.
The other day, I was stood in the square in my town. There was chemtrails all over the sky, crisscrossing like they were crocheting or something, or tic-tac-toe. You know what I'm talking about? It was heavy, heavy, heavy. There was a guy in a uniform, you're going to love this, Vinny. There was a guy in a uniform, an environmental officer, dressed in black, like a fasci guy, and he was the environmental officer. Now, if you dropped a matchstick or a cigarette on the floor, you would get an on-the-spot fine for litter, okay? Now, I walked up to him and said, I'd like to report an environmental crime. He said, oh, yes, sir. He got his notebook out. Oh, yeah, make some money here. Quotas, quotas, quotas. I said, look at that up there in the sky. That's megatons of aluminium oxide, barium and strontium. They're private companies. I can give you the names if you like. And NATO spraying us, and it's polluting the environment. That's nothing to do with me, sir. That's above my head. Yeah, it's above your head. So,
this is the thing. People can serve
to it, you know.
Have you noticed how people quite regularly serve things they don't understand?
Serve things.
You know, they serve corporations, entities, governments, or police officers. You know, but I was just watching one of my old videos the other day, where we went down Queen Street with a megaphone and said that everything's okay and people should trust the media because it's God's honest truth, and don't under any circumstances pay any attention to the man with the megaphone. and we got to no, they did actually. It was quite funny, you know. But it was getting kind of dangerous, you know, because they were laughing and smiling and stuff like that. And I warned them, you know, I'll have to call the police and say that you guys are terrorists, because you know, you can't have people laughing and having fun while they're out on a Saturday night in the streets. I mean, that stuff's just dangerous to public order.
Oh, and by the way, I saw an article today, I think it was in the Telegraph, that it's better to be sad. You'll live longer. You know, so they don't want us being happy. And transhumanism, that's another branch of it. They want us all to be lobotomized, half-Borg slaves in the future. They only want... They want to destroy 90% of us now. The United Nations is on record. Look it up. 90%. So that leaves about 500 million. And those who are left, if they're allowed to be born, they'll be like half-Borg. There's a guy getting a bionic arm today, you know.
Oh, my goodness. Welcome to the new post-human apocalypse. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. We'll be right back.
I got some so-called friends. Smile right to my face. All when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Who's that? Are you on?
And welcome
by
back. Final segment of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. For those of you that are able to listen in, you know, welcome back. And apparently there's some people that are having problems connecting and listening in and are making a song and dance about it, which I suppose is actually quite a positive thing, because I'd rather know than not know. And I'm doing my dangest to restore communications. But speaking of restoring communications, we're now going to have these new copyright laws in New Zealand, Patrick. And basically it means that all the news websites will have all their articles copyrighted, basically. You won't be able to repost any articles, like, on your websites. So it's gonna pretty much damage the alternative media, because a lot of the good articles that we find are written by mainstream media sources. You know, they're just buried in the back pages or some crap like that.
Well, also, streaming live video can be interpreted as live performance now, and copyright infringement. So anyone who plays videos for people, I used to run a chat room and play videos for people so people could comment on it in the chat box. That would also be illegal. It's just another plundering tax way of making money and slinging people in jail if they can't afford it. It's just another way of tightening the noose on the internet. I don't give the internet as it stands much longer. So if you're thinking of doing something like starting a radio show, do it now before it gets too silly. It's tyrannical. That's what tyrannical governments do, especially world governments. So I'm not a bit surprised. And people must fight it in the courts, you know, as much as they can.
One thing that I've been kind of talking about lately is that a lot of people are resisting in a lot of different ways. And I think that if you're doing anything, you've got to be doing it now, okay? There's so many people talking out their ass, just saying, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. It's like, well, bro, you aren't doing it. You haven't done it yet. Get up, do something, and then talk about what you've done. Because I can't be bothered sitting here and listening about your wonderful plans when you ain't doing jack.
There are 7 billion people on the planet. There's about 6,000 world managers. That's pretty good odds to me, right? First off. Now, let's say 1 billion of them have the internet. They could be using that as a way to warn people what's happening and waking them up to out of the trance, the real reality of the way the world works and why you're getting ill, okay? And those that don't have the internet, that should be out there just on the streets telling people in bars, everyone they meet, please look into this, read that book, or do something, you know. It doesn't sound like much, but if 1 billion people did that out of 7 billion, if 2 more million did that, we'd have a chance, you know? We have a chance to beat this new world order. It's not a game, you know. We have a chance. We've just got to get out there and do something. So start your own radio station. We broadcast from a bus in Kansas, that doesn't move, that hasn't been moved in years. It's an old bus in Kansas. I'm in England, and we do it via Skype, and it's a lot of fun talking to people from all around the world, and do it just to meet your favourite astrophysicist or something, or, you know, and make a video and just do something, you know, we're running out of time.
Well, you know, when people talk about running out of time, I don't think there is such a thing, really. It's just the time is and always has been right now, you know?
Yeah.
What are you fucking waiting for, ladies and gentlemen? You know, you don't have to be sitting around taking flack from somebody, okay? Go out, meet some new people. Wave a placard around. Just express your frustration in some way. Or, you know, ambush one of these many, many, many representations of scum that you have in your local township. Because I can guarantee you, there's scum everywhere. And they all float to the top. And it only requires a minimal amount of research in order to find out what bad, naughty things these people have done that you can go up to them and question them about. Let them know that they're not anonymous. Let them know that people will recognize them in the street and will start questioning them about their dodginess, okay? Mm-hmm. They live in a bubble of security and conformity that they just love because they don't have to deal with any of the slave scum. And that is exactly the thing that really needs to be hammered home, is that, hey, we are everywhere, okay? And you are not going to get a moment's peace while you're still fulfilling an agenda to kill us all off and take what's left for yourselves and your frickin' mates and your family, okay? You are scum, filth, blue-blooded, petite poo, and you are going to go down and go down hard, methinks. You know, and first thing we need to do is just make them afraid, okay? Because as soon as they start getting afraid, then they're going to start making a lot more mistakes, and it'll wake people up to the desperation of kind of crap that they're trying to pull.
I believe they are already very afraid, and that's why they're spending billions on mind-controlling us, fluoride, toxins in the food, GM, anything, cancer-causing vaccines, chemtrails. I mean, that's a lot of money's worth. Brzezinski said only last year, with his voice trembling, never before in history of people been so politically aware and awake, and, you know, our elite system is under threat, you know. So I believe they are very afraid. They're afraid of good ideas. They're afraid of the people. And they're losing their grip on the mind control of the people. People are waking up big time. And so they're accelerating their tyrannical, global, scientific dictatorship. So this is a small window, I believe, and a very exciting one. It's one that I don't want to be involved in. I'd rather just go back to digging me spuds, like Herr Rothschild in the garden. But now I know, now I'm awake, now I'm compelled with every fibre of my being, and people out there should be too, to defeat these people. And it's an information war. You don't have to hurt anybody. You don't have to blow anything up. You just got to be yourself and be peaceful. It's an information war. 90% of their money goes on controlling our mind before they even pick up a tank or a weapon or bomb a country. 90% of it. So this information war is crucial. And Vinny, I've got to take my hat off to you. The work you do is splendid, man. Absolutely courageous, brave, and splendid. So thank you.
Oh, well, you know, thank you very much. Well, you know, I think I was questioning the other day whether or not I've developed a radio persona or whether I actually am in reality this arrogant and this much of a pain to listen to and to put up with the righteous cackling. And I began to think, hey, wait, no. Maybe I am this much of a douchebag in real life.
Well, it's a sense of humour. It's a gallows humour that you develop. But I'm with you. Actually, I'm not normally this serious about anything. In you know, when I'm off the air, I'm just a clown. Really, I love farting around and acting silly. You know, and making people laugh. That's what I enjoy doing. But it's hard to do that under a cloud of chemtrails. You know, you just want to. You've had enough, and you want to organise a rally, which I've done. That's on the, I know you guys are in New Zealand, but probably some people in England are listening on the internet. There's a chemtrail rally on the 9th of July, 2011, near Duxford. I'll talk about where exactly it is, nearer the time for obvious reasons, but it's near Duxford, near the Flying Legends air show. It's a World War II Battle of Britain airfield, and I've organised a chemtrail rally there. And public speakers, live music, and if you're in England and Cambridge, just come along and support me and me trying to get the information out there.
Okay. Well, you know, and give a quick plug to your websites and all of that kind of jazz as well, mate, because this is the other thing that I should remind people more about, is that if you're a guest on this show, feel free to promote the living heck out of yourself. Because, you know, yeah, it's an opportunity not to be missed.
Yeah, you can send a letter to me. I'll get it through L.D. Rothschild and Son, Exbury Gardens. Oh, sorry, that's the wrong address. no, I've got a Free Truth Show on YouTube channel. Free Truth Show YouTube channel. And I'm on the radio station, These Changing Times Radio. Spruz.com. That's spruz.com. These Changing Times Radio.spruz.com and the YouTube channel Free Truth Show. So you'll see the Rothschild video there of me and of my encounter with him in his garden at his house. So leave a comment and spread it around while it's still available. And that's pretty much it, really.
All right, fantastic. And thanks very much for coming on the show with me today at such short notice. But I'm sure you didn't have anything better to do except eat pizza.
I wouldn't miss it for the world, Vinny. I enjoyed myself very much. I always enjoy talking to you, especially in the break, you know. But we've got a kind of gallows humour. We've got to keep our spirits up, and you do an amazing job at that, man. So I've got to thank you for that.
Yeah,
God bless you, Governor.
Well, thank you.
You'll definitely get an invite to the palace from me, my boy.
Nice one, brother.
Nice one, bruv, innit?
Yeah, right, mate. Yeah, right. Nip round the owner for a butcher's. What?
A quick mention. There's a lot of people in New Zealand that are doing a lot of great stuff with the chemtrails and warning people, so hello to everybody in New Zealand and the work you're doing there. Chemtruth.ning.com, you go to that site, there's lots of New Zealand people on there doing information and organising things about chemtrails. And so chemtruth.ning.com.
Thanks, and we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks.